Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Crack, 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 crack. Crack, crack, crack. No. Crack, crack, crack.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. We're hurting out here in the Bay Area. We are hurting. The Niners are hurting. What about my Warriors? They've lost four in a row. Who's on the court tonight?
My Warriors.
I love my Warriors. We'll get to the Warriors.
We're going
to
go all the way.
We're going to get to the Warriors. Heavy Warriors last hour against the Denver Nuggets.
I'm a Warriors fan all the way.
And I've got a new segment I'm unveiling.
Oh, what's that?
Well, sometimes on Monday, because of the NFL, there's a lot of things that get left on the cutting board. You know, topics that I want to bring up to the table. And so I'm a big believer in reheating leftovers.
Oh, must have something to do with Giants baseball.
Last minute leftovers. It's a new segment. Things that we couldn't get to on Monday that we're going to get to in the 9 o'clock hour on Tuesday.
Well,
it's a hodgepodge of things. Bonte, sometimes you wake up and you got spaghetti left over from the night before and you have spaghetti for breakfast. That just happens. Sometimes you got a bunch of eggs in the fridge and you got to make breakfast for dinner.
It's not how you stay healthy. Eating spaghetti in the morning.
Well, it depends what else you're eating throughout the day. It depends what time of the morning, but you get where I'm going with this.
Oh, let me turn my FaceTime off. My daughter's talking to me. She likes to hear me.
Clean it up, Bonte.
I was like, what the hell's going on here? What am I hearing? I'm hearing something. I want to do this.
She's hurling the golden pipes of Joe Shasky.
Yeah, she wanted me to shout out those watching on YouTube.
What's up, bro?
Do we still have people watching on YouTube, by the way? I haven't checked in our YouTube page. Are people still watching? They are?
Yeah, we're crushing in the YouTube game.
Really? We're still crushing it despite not having a chat? Damn. That must be desperate. I need to shout out a couple people, too. By the way, watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer, because they're probably listening right now. And I call them Matt's Troublemakers. You know Matt from Ceremony Ford.
Oh, yeah.
We all have been in contact with them in communication or whatnot.
I bought my beautiful Ford Maverick from Ceremony Ford, and a year later, I am loving it. It's the greatest vehicle I've ever purchased. And I'm not just saying that hyperbolically. I mean that sincerely. I got a hybrid, and I got the Lariat package, and it's a game changer.
You ever meet Suzette?
Yeah.
She's a big roaster.
Yeah.
So Suzette and the whole crew down there.
Yeah.
They're like Matt's go-tos. They call them. They're like, call us Matt's Angels. I said, no, you're Matt's
Matt's
Troublemakers.
Angels. I like that.
But they are diehard roasters.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, our freeball audience, I had no idea.
I usually apologize to people when I meet them and they say that too. They're a roaster.
Well, I tell them, no, you know what I tell them? When people say, man, I listen all the time, I said, you got to find something to do, bro. That's not a way to start your morning, listening to us two. I wouldn't do it. I don't even like listening to myself. Boy, but shout out to Ceremony Ford and Matt's Troublemakers. I just got to say that. They're the best. Those ladies are like, they love their Warriors. They love their Niners.
Nice.
They're asking, who are we going to trade on the Warriors? They're ready to trade right now. Trade this guy. Trade that guy. Say, whoa, 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 whoa. We're 19 games in. Whoa, whoa. Slow down.
Well, I'm ready to make trades.
Oh, I know you are. I know you are. That's why you're getting flip-flops for Christmas. You take it over to Neto as flip-flopper from Guru.
Bonte, not sure if you know this, but when interest rates rise and fall, you know, I make adjustments.
No, that's
it's the
different.
Same thing that happens with player and their
has
stock.
Has nothing to do with sports. Shout out to Carbondale High Padres football undefeated season so far. State semifinal this Friday. I know St. Ignatius is going down to Central and
yes.
Prism to play them for a D1 championship in CCS. De La Salle. Let's go, Jay and the company. You know who they're playing in the Open Championship? Matter Day.
No way.
Matter Day.
Wow, that's a heavyweight championship match.
Yeah, that is wow. A huge matchup. Pitt High's playing Folsom, I believe. So, you know what? Got a lot of high school football going on. You got football here with
basketball
the Niners and the Bears.
Up.
But basketball's already rolling.
In high school.
Basketball's already rolling. Jefferson's playing third good. My boy Chuck Zilla, his son plays for Jefferson. I got to go to one of their games soon. A lot of games. Nephew's played at College of Marin.
Nice.
Got a lot going on out here. A lot going on in the Bay Area. But our pro sports teams are struggling. We know about the Giants and what they did last season, and I guess they're bringing back everybody for the championship years to try to get some fan interest. The Sharkies are rebuilding, but you know what? Macklin Celebrini.
1-0 on a 6-game roadie.
There you go. Beating the Crackheads in Seattle. That's what they call themselves, the Crackheads. The Crackheads.
Crack,
Seattle
Kraken.
They call themselves the Crackheads. I just want to clarify that. We're not talking about drugs. We're not talking about Sixth Street. No, we're talking about the Kraken.
Well, no, Daniel Lurie, the mayor, who exclusively was found on Morning Roast. You can go to our YouTube page. He's actually put out a video yesterday, which I echoed the sentiments of, congratulating him. He is going to start by trying to clean up 6th and Market. It's going to take a long, long time,
but we
need to do it.
It's been like that for 35
it's
years.
It's worse. trust me. We all shopped at Oxford's and Kaplan's and all the places on Market.
I don't think it's worse. I think it's basically the same.
I disagree. It's out of control.
No, it's been out of control like that for 40 years, Shasky. Trust me,
Bonte,
man.
Bonte.
6th Street's been nasty. They had this underground reggae club there
for
many years. Sixth Street, yeah.
It was called
club.
The Basement.
Yeah, I don't know what it was called back then, but I've partied there a few times. Had some good times there. I asked a question before the break, 888-957-9570, because I know Niner fans are exhausted right now. It's been an up-and-down roller coaster, starting from the Super Bowl loss in Las Vegas in this offseason, and everybody's talking about the 49ers. RG3's talking about the Niners. You know, how the Brandon Ayuk situation has affected this season. But Matt DeHeegan had a great tweet, and I want to steal it, and I want to ask this question. If you had to say one thing that pisses you off or disappoints you the most about the Niners this season, what would it be? Because it's now turning into a disappointment season, and the last 2 weeks you get beat by Green Bay, what was it, 30-10, 31-10? They got blown out. And then 38-10 in Green Bay, 35-10 in Buffalo. You scored 20 points the last 2 weeks. 20 points while giving up 73. You've lost a turnover battle. Turnover battle, 6-0. You've committed 6 turnovers the last 2 weeks, and you've forced none. So, what's been the most disappointing thing? What's the one thing that pisses you off, Niner fans, about this season? 888-957-9570. And I'll start with you, Shasky.
Yeah, the most disappointing thing, and I think this has been kind of a constant theme throughout a multi-year thing, but this year in particular has reared its head. It's not just the fans. It's also the players and the organization. The excuses and the denial. The excuses on why they've lost or they've come up short over the years, and in particular this year, and then the denial to acknowledge where you are and what you are. And I thought that yesterday, and I saw a lot of people arguing about this online, in my friend groups, face-to-face. Shanahan basically came out and was like, hey, we're not as good as we were the last couple of years. And everyone was losing their mind. You don't say that when you're coaching a team. Hey, look, I've coached lots of teams, and I'm not pretending to be a professional coach. But I believe that sometimes the best way to connect with people is actually being honest and telling someone, like, dude, you're not that good, actually. I love you. Like, you've got a long way to go. Do you want me to gaslight you, or do you want me to be honest? I actually appreciated Kyle finally acknowledging, after getting blown out 25 points multiple times in the last couple weeks, saying, like, yeah, we're not as good as we were the last couple years. And he's not wrong. And it's okay to say it every now and then. No one is saying that it's you're throwing the players under the bus and you're not taking accountability. No, I just thought it was a moment of clarity and self-awareness. And I actually appreciate Kyle being real about it, because I've heard Debo say, we think we're the best team in the league. No, you're not. Like, I know you could feel that way, but you haven't won the ultimate prize. And there's been a denial at every sense of the turn. And look, I agreed with them at points. Hey, Brock Purdy got hurt in Philadelphia. All right. Like, yeah, it sucks, but they also did knock you out. And there's no guarantee that you win with Brock Purdy in that game. In the Super Bowl, we knew the rules. No, you didn't. You didn't know the rules. You didn't know the rules. You screwed up. There were multiple points. Let's throw Steve Wilks under the bus. Nah, Bosa, how about you make a play on 4th and 2? You know, all of these things coming to roost. This year, more than ever, the excuses, the injuries, the contracts, the this, the that, the denial of the players and the fans to acknowledge, like, they're not as good. Finally, Kyle said that. Like, that's been one of the things I've been most frustrated with this year. Excuse making.
I don't know how many excuses I've heard, but the most disappointing aspect of this season to me, it's the offseason. It's the way the season started.
Okay.
That's the most disappointing thing to me. As we all go through the lulls of summer, and we're watching the Sasak baseball team and the San Francisco Giants. And we're watching this guy, Farhan Zaidi. I know you guys talked probably Blake Snell on Wednesday as he signed to the Dodgers. Look, I didn't care whether or not he was traded or not. I just wanted the Giants to pick a lane. Are you all in or are you all out? Because if you're all in, you make trades for other assets. But instead, they sold off Soler. They sold off a couple other players, Alex Cobb. And they just said, oh, we have the best rotation in baseball. We're going to be fine. Wait, what?
Alex Cobb!
You made moves to save money. So you didn't pick a lane. That was the most frustrating aspect about that. But we were working ourselves up to get ready for a bounce back season. Okay, they lost the Super Bowl. Let's get charged up. It's football. We love football. Football is king. And we get to training camp, and there's the Aiyuk situation. And then you get to training camp, and it's like, oh, wait, Trent's not here. And then Shanahan goes up to the podium and said, yeah, we kind of braced ourselves for Trent not being here. Wait, what? And Trent doesn't crazy. Show up. Trent doesn't show up until the last, until the week before the season. So the most disappointing aspect of bouncing back from a Super Bowl loss in that fashion, in overtime, was that everything was buttoned up going into training camp. They let these things just linger. The IE situation lingered and lingered and lingered. Now, I'm not here to go back in the past and say, well, it was his fault. It was their fault.
Both parties screwed up.
Both parties are culpable. But the fact that that lingered so deeply into training camp, and then you think about what happened in training camp. Oh, McCaffrey's out with a calf injury. Oh, later on, we find out week one against the Jets and it's an Achilles.
Well, that's the part of the excuses for me. Like, they let us on like McCaffrey was going to be ready to go.
No, and he wasn't. But you got to play gamesmanship for other teams. I get that aspect of it, that you don't want other teams to have intel on what's going on in your building. Hockey does it all the time with lower body injuries, upper body injuries. They're not going to reveal anything. But also, Ricky Pearsall, your first round pick. Okay, if Aiyuk's not going to be here, well, let's see what Slick Rick has. And Slick Rick can't stay on the football field in training camp. And that was before he got, unfortunately, shot down here at Union Square. And then you get to the fact that this gets lost in the shuffle, and it should have been a microcosm, or it should have been a sign of things to come. And we were in denial as fans. They couldn't even scrimmage the New Orleans Saints because they didn't have enough healthy bodies. They had to cancel a flight down to L.A. to scrimmage. And it was like, wow. We should have saw this all coming. We should have all seen it coming. And we didn't, because we thought that they could overcome this because they have in the past. And yet they didn't. So that's the most disappointing aspect to me, is that they didn't handle their business before training camp. And they let things in the offseason linger into training camp and into the season. And here we are now at 5-7.
You know, it's funny you referenced the offseason. The first practice, non-padded, we went to. And what did I come out saying the next day? It's like, man, they felt a little flat.
Well, there's no fans there.
No, I know, but there wasn't the same, because Greenlaw brings this intensity. Aiyuk, for whatever we want to argue about, Aiyuk and Fred went at it the last couple years. There was an intensity. There was a level of intrigue and excitement, whether it was the Sam Darnold and Trey Lance stuff in the background of Brock Purdy recovering from an elbow injury. There was always something, and it felt like it just felt flat that first day.
Dude, it was flat, and I thought you were going to bring up the fact that Isaac Grandel popped his hamstring in the first practice right
that's
in front of us.
Omen.
Popped his hamstring. We're like, damn, he's out 3 weeks.
That's another
saw it right
omen.
Away. First carry, boom, pop. hamstring gone. And so Devontae Campbell getting beat on the corner route. It's wow, that's first day of practice too. So the offseason is the most disappointing aspect. This team acted as if they were the Cleveland Browns at that time, and they've been one of the most buttoned-up organizations in the last 7 years. But this offseason, you draft a wide receiver. Now everybody's saying, man, we should have had Ladd McConkey. We should have had this guy. We should have had that guy.
Cooper That's how Zine. It works.
That's how it works. But Baldy talks about Pearson. He goes, wait, I didn't even know that stat because I don't even notice him on film. That's our first-round pick.
I hate saying this, but like Rashawn Woods, A.J. Jenkins, like, look, Ricky's got a long way to go. It's his first year. But on a team that desperately needed impact across the board, it is not a great year one impact pick.
Well, here's what Baldy had to say about Pearsall.
What surprised me about that stat right there, because I did not know that, is that he's even run 63 routes. Because you don't even notice him. You don't even know he's on the field. Like, that's how invisible he is. I'm thinking, well, where is he? All right, I see Juwan out there slipping and sliding. I see George doing what he's doing. Like, where's the ball even going for the most part? It's not really, I don't even know who it's going to. Obviously, it's not going to Pearsall. I talked to him on the field before the game in Green Bay. He said he's here to beat man coverage. I haven't seen him get open. I haven't seen him even look at him, where he's even being featured in any way right now.
So he was supposed to be the band beater after losing the Super Bowl, because everybody said, oh, the Niners couldn't get off man coverage in the Super Bowl. Kansas City and Spags just press man and bump and run, and they couldn't get any separation. So you draft a guy who apparently was a man beater, and yet we're like the Kansas City game. That's why Greg Cosell, God bless his soul, he knows a lot more about football than I do. But I was in a press box for Kansas City, and I told you, I said, I didn't see him beat man coverage much against Kansas City. I saw him get choked up. Now, Greg Cosell said he looked juicy. It was juicy. Remember that? He said juicy.
I don't know what that meant. But then a couple weeks later, he kind of like walked it back different podcast.
What'd he say?
Well, that he wasn't getting off of coverage as well.
Oh, so he was just,
I don't know,
placating to the marketplace.
I don't know. Look, he has a discerning eye. I'll bow down to his expertise and his discerning eye. You know, sometimes you're being asked things and you just say something and you're wrong. But sometimes also, like, the player changes week to week, right? Nope. There's been times this year, let me forget Pearsall, Purdy. There's been times I felt like he's been excellent. And there's other times where I'm like, I don't think he's seeing the field. I don't think he's trusting what he's seen. And is that me waffling back and forth, or is that me being honest and assessing what I'm seeing on a week-to-week basis?
I see the same thing. Here's what Baldy's seen from Brock Purdy in the snow.
I don't think he's playing great by any stretch, but at the same time, I don't know exactly what he's supposed to do. Like, you throw the ball on the first throw to Kittle, and he doesn't catch another pass. Now, they threw to him. He was interfered with. You know, a couple things happened. He wanted to go to him. He got guys jumping up in his face. They ran the ball very well, which helps, but they're not getting any big plays, you know, and that's kind of falls on the quarterback right now. So that's where they're struggling right now. And the finished drives, I mean, the turnovers are killing them, and they're not taking the ball away. So you're minus three on the road in that condition. You got Juice fumbling at the goal line, and, you know, Debo fumbling, you know, deep in his territory and a kickoff. Like, these things are killing his team right now.
You know, Pete, here's the part for me that's tough to come to grips with. I supported Purdy so hard. It's like, man, he is so much better than Jimmy G. And I'm sure a lot of people saw that as me putting Jimmy G down, right? But, like, I did. I really thought this dude was the dude. I thought he was the franchise quarterback. You know, pay him whatever he wants. I've been so unimpressed at times this year. He's had great games. He's had great moments. You know, like the Ram game in particular. But there's been a lot of other times where he's had moments in games, moments in drives to kind of like be the swashbuckler, the franchise quarterback, and just, for example, the Seahawks game, you make the throw to Debo.
Yes.
That game's over.
You make the throw.
You know, make the throw.
Well, he's not Arizona. You threw the pick. They're looking for George Kittle on the crosser to win the game.
He's been one of, it's the most important position on sports. You can't talk about the top, whatever, 6-7 teams without talking about quarterback, right? And, like, he's been disappointing for me. I expected better, and I wanted better, and I feel let down because I was championing him so hard, and it's and now it feels like I'm jumping off the pretty. I'm not. I'm assessing what I'm seeing, and he's not as good. Listen,
it's a year-to-year league.
He's not playing as good, and it's really, I honestly think it's been a blow to their psyche.
And look, Purdy may be good, not great. He may be good and not great.
That could be
He may not be elite, and that's okay. Can you win without having an elite quarterback? We've seen good quarterbacks win. We've seen quote-unquote game managers win, which I don't subscribe because all quarterbacks are game managers to a certain extent. But can you make that it play? Can you make that off-script play? We haven't seen that enough from Brock Purdy this season. So, look, there's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs with him this year. Now we got to think about the shoulder injury, the elbow, what's going on with that. But also, I look at Purdy's situation. I say, well, damn, his receivers aren't getting open. You got to hold on to the ball a little longer because guys can't separate. You got no speed on the outside. That's what I want. I want a guy like A.J. Brown on this roster. I've been begging for him for years. They're so damn slow on the outside, it's not even funny.
Yeah, but how many teams are dying to have Kittle?
Yeah, I get you got Kittle, but maybe teams are doubling him at times, maybe with the exception of the Buffalo game.
Okay.
I hear Kittle. But for the most part, I'm thinking to myself, damn, I'm looking at these wide receivers every single game. When I'm at the game and I'm in the box or I'm in my seats,
yeah,
the 49ers wide receivers don't get separation whatsoever.
Yeah, but
whatsoever.
Drake May's throwing to nobody. Like, and you know, Daniel Jones has got Malik Nabers for half the year this year. Like, that's the plight of the quarterback in the NFL.
That
you know how many teams would die to have a top five rusher and Jordan Mason to start the season? Or George Kittle, a Hall of Fame tight end?
It's not enough. I mean, I'm looking at the receiver core.
But to me, who's Bo Nix throwing to?
Yeah, but no. Cortland Sutton is a really good wide receiver.
Okay.
Really good wide receiver.
Is he better than George Kittle?
And they're scheming him up, Bo Nix. They're doing a great job. I do subscribe to the fact that you need to just force feed George Kittle. I'm with Baldy on that one. But at the same time, looking at the outside, Baldy said he doesn't even notice Pearsall on the film.
Yeah, but Jennings is a solid two. I think he's a solid number two.
Solid.
You don't think so?
He's a solid three, in my opinion. He's solid.
I think he'd be a solid two in a lot of places.
The problem is you don't have a one or a three right now.
That I agree with. But even when they had Ayuk out there, they weren't really clicking.
And we know why they weren't clicking.
Well,
we know why they weren't clicking. Let's go to Anthony.
Like, look, who's the number one for Josh Allen?
Right. Well, they've got a bunch of weapons, and you have Josh Allen. He's elite. That's the difference. He's elite.
If Shakur came here, would he be a number one?
No.
Would he be a number two?
Josh Allen is elite.
Okay.
And I don't think they have a true, like, they traded for Amari Cooper for a reason.
Yeah.
You still got Keon Coleman. You got Matt Collins as his red zone threat. When they're healthy, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox are very good tight ends. So you got two tight ends. You got some good players out there in Buffalo. Okay. Anthony and Fresno, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Second time caller, man. I called in after the Super Bowl, man. But today I just want to talk about
it's been a long time.
Hold
on real quick.
It's been a long time, man.
What have you done since the Super Bowl? How long did it take you to get over that? Are you even over? Who gets over a Super Bowl loss like that?
Hey, you know what, bro? Sometimes some Niner fans have, man. But after losing, you know, with Harbaugh and then in 2019 and this one, you just move on, bro. I hate to say it, man. But you get battle-tested, man. But today I just wanted to talk about Kyle standing by Sorensen. I think it's pretty crazy, man, because when you look on film with this defense, man, all they do is line up in base defense. They give up everything underneath. There's no exotic blitzes. There's nothing to scheme about. And I get it. They want to run this wide nine defense, but they just don't have the player personnel to run it. So like I said, coming into this offseason coming up, I really think they got to go back to that 3-4 defense. The wide nine had its little run with Seattle back in the day. I know, you know, the Rams ran it. New England ran it in their Super Bowl when they beat the Rams. But unless you have lockdown corners and you have stout defensive linemen that can hold their gaps and get off, it just, you give up a lot of run, a lot of yards in the run.
There you go. Good call, Anthony. Good to hear from you out there in Fresno. We get to everybody else. Clark the Shark, I see you on the line. Maybe we get to Clark the Shark. We'll get Dr. Brian Feely coming up to talk about the injuries, not only with the Niners and Christian McCaffrey and Mason and everybody else, but I want to ask him about Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and these injuries with them as well. Dr. Brian Feely will join us on the River Islands guest line coming up on the other side. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I want to get to everybody here because it's a fascinating conversation about Brock Purdy. He's good, but obviously not elite. So what does that mean? What does that mean? If he's regressed, who is that on? Is it all on him? Because I don't think it's all on him. I think it's a little bit of play calling. I think it's a little bit of injuries. I just think it's a little bit of talent. The lack of talent outside. But we'll get to all that. 888-957-9570 is a number. Dr. Brian Feely coming up on the other side, brought to you by the California Lottery.
It's Brian from San Ramon. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
Shanahan did run the ball last week.
Hey.
The problem was.
No.
Shanahan and the Niners couldn't pass the ball.
I got beef.
Pass the ball. Nope.
I got beef.
No beef. No beef.
I got beef.
No,
it is. Because listen. Boldy on every week. Let's take people behind the scenes.
We have
Boldy on every single week for those that are just tuning in. All right? And we have conversations with Boldy. That's what separates us. All right? Conversations. This is not us asking a random guest, like behind enemy lines, let's talk to Bill. He covers the Nuggets in Denver.
No.
I said a statement, then another statement, and how I felt, and then I asked a question to Boldy. Y'all are trying to set me up saying I asked the longest question of all time to Brian Baldinger, and I'm not letting it happen.
Hold on, hold on. Can I talk, please? Because you're like red right now. You're pissed. Yeah, you're wrong. You're in denial. That's why. You're defensive right now. So I go to line one, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, and the guy who had the previous record for the longest question in the history of 95-7 a game, Darren the Guru Johnson.
Hold on.
I was on that show too, so I'm the perfect guy to be in this position. I was on that show. Hey, Guru, did we not, during the BSCG days, talk to Jim Barnett every single week?
Yes, we did.
So we would have conversations with the great Jim Barnett, right?
Guru, your connection's as good as your attendance record the last year.
So you have
Goo, you know what, Goo? This is what we're going to do. In the last 5 minutes of this show, Goo, I want you to come into the studio. And put Shask in his place, because the first thing I called Duke Guru, I called you during the break, and I didn't even have to say anything. And Guru goes, yo, Shasky just shattered my record for Lunkin's question in history of 95-7
Who's the biggest, best broadcaster we all know? I'm going to say it's Roxy Bernstein, outside of Dave Fleming. Roxy Bernstein taught me, as a young non-journalist major, never went to college. He said, Shasky, I was taught by the ESPN executives, you make a statement, then you ask a question. That's how it works. I'm just doing what Roxy taught me. Please explain.
Dr. Bryce, so you always throw somebody under the bus. Let's go to Dr. Bryce.
Please explain.
Dr. Roxy as one of my key testimonials.
We may need to work on Shasky's ego, Brian Feely. How do you repair his fractured ego? His ego's injured right now, Dr. Brian Feely, as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. All
I
guests on 95.7 game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, UCSF Medicine. Dr. Brian Feely, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning, man. How you doing today?
I'm good. I think my ego's better than Chasky, so we're all good.
There we go. Calm down, love, man. I got it. We're good. Dr. Brian Feely, everybody's injured around here. Christian McCaffrey, what can you tell us about the PCL injury?
So I think every orthopedic surgeon who saw that when he fell on that hard turf, essentially frozen ground, landing directly on your knee, that's a perfect mechanism for a PCL injury. PCL injuries in general are graded by how much of the ligament tears and stretches out. Usually, unlike an ACL injury, a PCL injury can be essentially a partial, and it can actually heal on its own. So if it's a partial PCL injury, he had some laxity on the sideline, it can be treated non-operatively, essentially with just bracing and protecting him. But that's still talking about 6 to 8 weeks of protecting it, getting it to heal in the right position, and then slowly returning to activity. So unless there's a miraculous run at the end of the year, it's kind of hard to see him coming back this year.
Do you think it's related to the calf injury / bilateral Achilles tendonitis?
Not at all. So I think things that we think of that we worry about with Achilles tendonitis would be a Achilles rupture. I think if you look at the mechanism of his tackle, he almost made it through. He landed directly on his knee with 200 pounds of force. That's how you tear your PCL.
Mm. And so this is like, because I've seen people speculate weather related, workload related. This is more of a traumatic blow.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we see these when you land directly on your knee, or if you're in a car and you hit the dashboard.
Gotcha.
Those are the two mechanisms for PCL. Not Shanahan did something wrong. McCaffrey did something wrong. He came back too soon, too late. This was just really unfortunate luck.
And now you watched the game live like I did. When they went to the back angle, I know he has giant calves, and so when they're like landing and planting on such hard surface, they're going to move a little. But like, I think we all winced thinking it was the Achilles that ruptured. What did you make of the video and all of the internet doctors out there that are claiming that it was an Achilles injury?
Yeah, I think when you look at McCaffrey's calves, they always look spectacular on TV and when you go into super slow motion. I think everybody's worried about that because of his previous injury history over the year. But once they came back and immediately said it's his PCL, it's a pretty obvious exam. So when the doctors brought him into the tent, examined him, I'm sure they examined his calf, his Achilles, and his knee. And with Christian saying, hey, it's my knee really hurts, it feels unstable, then that's the obvious answer. The other thing is, if you remember from Aaron Rodgers, Dre Greenlaw, when you tear your Achilles, you go down, you don't run a few more plays. So the fact that he jogged back and then even tried, that's much more consistent with a PCL injury.
Yeah, because I was thinking of Kobe hitting the two free throws and kind of waltzing off the court, if you will, even though we knew he had tore his Achilles. Anyway, what about Mason?
What about Fred Warner and his fractured ankle? How much pain is he in right now, Dr. Brian Feely?
You know, obviously a lot. Even if you have a very small injury and you're in a stress fracture or a stress reaction, you know, a non-displaced fracture, it's going to hurt a lot to play football and to be able to run up and down at the speed that he's going. I mean, he seems like he's a little bit slowed down, but at the same time, the defense is missing so many players that he can just be covering more ground than we would have been expecting him if we had a healthy defense.
High ankle sprain for Mason. Is he done for the year, you think?
Yeah, same thing. Even with a mild high ankle sprain, you're looking at minimum 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. Our season's not looking too long. At least Garendo's averaging over 5 yards a game.
Look at you. You must play fantasy football, Doc. Do you play fantasy football?
A little bit, but.
A little bit.
I like it. I respect it. Dr. Brian Feely here on the River Island's Guest Line. All right, switch over to the hardwood because I got some questions about the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, we know he's been in this league for 16 seasons, still with bilateral knee tendonitis. And he says maybe this thing is going to linger. Can you tell us something about this injury and how long it can linger or will linger for Stephen Curry?
Yeah, I think the hard part with tendonitis is it's not a good name for it. So it can be a little bit of inflammation around your patellar tendon and quad tendon, but it also can be a little bit of degeneration within the tendon itself. As we know from McCaffrey, once you have this tendon degeneration with some inflammation around it, it takes a long time to feel really good. The thing is you can probably safely play through patellar tendonitis or knee tendonitis more than you can Achilles tendonitis. So if he feels good and maybe not perfect, it's a little bit safer for him to play through this compared to McCaffrey. That being said, he still has to feel good enough to be able to perform at his level. My guess is, you know, he was playing high minutes early on. He may have to be cut back a few minutes every game just so he can make it through a longer season.
The calf strain, is that what it is, Monte?
For Draymond Green. This injury just popped up.
Obviously you're not seeing him specifically, but what does that mean?
Yeah, I think anytime there's a calf strain, you worry about recurrent injuries. And it's kind of an injury that we've all experienced as we hit middle age. You get pain on the inside of your gastroc. It's hard to push off, so you can't really jump with it nearly as well. And you need to give it rest. So typically 2 to 3 weeks to feel decent, 4 weeks to feel really good. And that's what Joe Burrow had last year. You know, he basically was in a boot for all of preseason. He came back, he played really well. So if you give it enough rest, players do pretty well with this. If you try to keep coming back too soon, it becomes an aggravating injury and you just can't get all the way better.
Oof, man, we got to bet about how many games Draymond's going to play.
I have Draymond playing 65 games. And if he plays 65 games, Doc, Joe Shaskin has to take me to the house of prime rib.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Well, we'll make sure he gets all the best treatment then, so that you can get help.
Hey, Doc. I got a question. You're talking about middle-aged men. I'm one of them. Just turned 42 last week, and so I was doing some baseball drills on Sunday and cone work. I was doing cone work, right? So you go around all these different cones and you squat like you're fielding the ball, whatever. My groin and the back of my hamstring is barking 2 days later.
Wait, what's going on here? Doc, we didn't pay you to talk about Shasky's injury.
Should I just get right back? Should I play hoops tonight?
Exactly.
What should I do?
Doc, dude, we're talking about high-level athletes here, professionals who make millions of dollars, not a radio host who's out here doing co-work in his backyard with baby LJ.
Comeback season,
oh,
Doc.
Oh, come on.
I'm bulking up.
You know, I think for you, you probably have a sports hernia. I think you need to go in and get it fixed right away.
No,
you'll be fine. Just give it an extra couple of days and more squats.
Yeah, that's so okay. Right. The squat thing, should I be doing the dumbbells or barbell squats? Like, what should I be doing here? You know, the kettlebells? Like, I've seen various ones at my age. What do you think?
At 42, I think kettlebell squats are the best because they keep your core strong. As we get old, we sit way too much. Our core gets weak. And then we try to go out, run fast, and turn left on the base path.
Let's get back to real athletes here. Nick Bosa, the oblique in the hip. Will we see him again this season? What is he doing? What was it, both obliques? They haven't even clarified these injuries, Doc.
Yeah, I think it's hard. Anytime you have an oblique injury or these muscular core injuries, we honestly don't know a ton about them in orthopedic surgery, even in medicine. The way your obliques come down and attach to your pelvis is really complicated. This is what we see in hockey players and soccer players sometimes as these sports hernias, where the muscles from your obliques come down, attach along your pelvis right next to where your groin muscles attach. So once you start having oblique pain, your groin doesn't function as well. Everything kind of feels off. You can't do a sit-up, let alone fire, twist. Think about all the times he has to twist and get around a tackle. You just can't do that effectively, and it causes sharp pain. So like Shatsky trying to do his third day of squats, it might be a little while before we see him back.
Dr. Bryce.
Doc, I'm feeling this. We should do this more often.
We should do this. The afternoons try to steal you and Dr. Narapadia. We're the ones who are worried about health stuff. We're the ones who are out there running and running sprints and playing basketball all the time. You need to be on our show.
Anytime, guys.
Dr. Brian Feeley, you're the best, man.
See you, Doc.
All right, courtesy of the River Islands, guys.
UCSF.
And we got him out in 10 minutes. How about that?
I had to squeeze in a little. My buddy Joe Jaime, who...
Nobody cares about your injury.
Dr. Joe. He knew right away it was a PCL injury. He had DM'd me on Instagram. It was like automatic PCL on McCaffrey. If that's where he landed, right on the knee, if that's taking it face value. So I guess we all... And myself included, we all overreacted to the backwards video of McCaffrey.
We're already about to jump the shark with Clark the Shark in just a second, but... Nah, not over here. You're doing cone work in the backyard?
No,
you're doing cone work.
With a bunch of the 13, 14-year-olds, I jumped into the drills to show them how it can be done, and I got great work, and I burned like 900 calories on Sunday morning.
Like, did you think that he was just doing cone work like on his own in the backyard?
By myself?
Like, DK
I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, three cone.
Okay, three cone.
So basically there's all these different
three
cones. You place different cones, and you go around them in different shuttles and shuffles, and then you go down to like receive the ball, and it's working with paddles and working with gloves, and it's getting down low. It's a great workout. I don't think you guys could last 10 minutes.
Wow.
Did it an hour and a half.
510 says, Comcast Business Text Line, in the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the body doesn't know the difference between kettlebells or dumbbells. Just lift.
No, not dumbbells, I meant barbells. The barbell goes on like your back. And I'm afraid of hurting my back at my age. No, I am. I'm like genuinely afraid of like tearing and ripping
stuff. Well, just don't add any weights on there. The barbell itself, the Olympic bar
ones. Stick, dog.
It's 45 pounds. That's fine. Just you don't push yourself too much into it. That's the problem with people. They put too much weight on. You think you're macho. You work your way up in the weight. All right? It's all right. All right?
Speaking of Arnold, I do the Arnold presses. I'm up to an easy 45 per dumbbell. Hey, that's big progress. Your boy started off with 15s.
You just started lifting 2 years ago?
Yeah. Honestly, it's on. No, I mean this sincerely.
Proud of you. No, listen,
it's something I look forward to
before I start being coach.
And Damon Oakland was right. I've turned it into a lifestyle. Like I live for it. I go on the Saturday morning before the baby wakes up.
I'm proud of you. Back before
7:30.
Listen, I'm proud of you. I'm happy that you're working out.
I just can't get rid of this rooster gullet.
I'm happy that you're getting in the gym.
I'm happy that you're getting in the gym.
But this discovery of the weight room at the age of 40, right? It's kind of some jokes there. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Well, look, you know what? I would say this. I have cross-addicted from, video games.
Shout out Stretch Lab. You need to go to Stretch Lab. I got you, dog.
I should go to
Use my promo code.
I should.
Go to
you
Stretch
have a promo
Lab.
Code. Promo code Bonte.
No, it'd be promo code King. I'm just playing your game now. I'm just playing.
I love it. Quiet down. I do love it.
Now we got Gino Vacaville. I'll send you some great back workouts and lifting pages in IG, Joe, Gino, and Vacaville.
Well, my buddy
always
Scott,
be texting, never out my name anymore.
I broke my back.
My buddy Scott Hernandez, great guy. I mean, this dude's jacked. And he gave me this full workout. And my literal text back to him was like, hey, bro, like, wow. Like, I don't know if I'm doing that. Box squats. And he's got all these different box squats and deadlift, hip thrusters, full body crunch, setups, planks. And I'm like, we'll ease into that one. Above the waist, I'm crushing it. Below the waist, not so much in terms of
some people say if you're trying to get rid of the gullet, you got to do some jaw exercises.
I've been doing those.
Doesn't work.
It's called talking every day.
That's a three.
Yeah.
Well, you need more, John. Like, you need to put some weight on that.
No, but it's genetics, too. Right. Like, my family has, this is where we store our fat.
Let's jump to Shark now. Let's go to Clark the Shark. Clark the Shark, what's happening?
Hello.
Hello. It's been a long time. Been a long time, Clark. Talk to me, brother.
Bonte, Belafonte, and Cup of Joe's. How are you boys doing?
I love
it. Great to hear from you.
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Despite my teams, the Warriors been on a four-game losing streak, and the Niners just basically playing themselves out of the playoffs. I'm actually doing pretty well.
Hey, life is good, huh?
Life is good.
You can't always get what you want. I'll tell you one thing. One of the things about Purdy is you got to talk about his offensive line. It was 23rd last year in pass protection. This year, Brendel and Banks are terrible. He's getting pressure right up in his face. I think it's Kyle. I know he's in charge of that draft. It's obvious. And they need to build the offense and defensive lines in this coming draft, or else I don't see them improving a whole lot. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do know what you're saying. They're getting dominated in the trenches. How are you doing, though, Clark the Shark? Everything good out there, man? You good? Wifey's good?
I tell you what. We sold our house. We had a pretty nice house, decent house here. And we moved to this little shack down by the beach, and the heater went out. And now it's really cold here.
Where are you?
It was down to in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Hey, he's always been in Myrtle Beach.
For some reason, I thought you went to the Philippines.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you go to the Philippines for a second?
Well, no, we got some land there that we're going to build on, but we're waiting for this permit to come through, and things move pretty slow over there, and so it's still not in the Philippines yet, but we're hoping to have a little this place here and maybe a place in the Philippines, but we'll see.
Maybe the king can expedite some of those permits for you.
I might be able to do some. I got some people in the Philippines. I do.
Oh, really?
I got some, I got some people who know some people.
Save that drop.
I tell you what, we could use all the help we could get.
Just let me know where you're trying to live. Manila? You trying to live in paradise? Where you trying to go? Beach life?
Belair. It's a beach community with surf and all that kind of thing.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that.
Bonte's more of a Bodega Bay, the tides in kind of a guy. That's the beach that he
in
likes.
In it the tides.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm
in
sorry.
It the tides,
I just,
baby. Get it right.
I love how I'm selling your bit better than you.
In it the tides, baby. There you go. Clark, good to hear from you. Always.
I do love
and you're spot
in the
on
tides.
About the trenches. They have to fix the trenches. The defensive line, this makeshift defensive line, you got to invest in it. The Rams reshuffled their defensive line. They got two rookies who are playing like studs. Ooh. Out of Florida State.
And Fisk, Young is balling.
Young is balling as well. So You got to reinvest in his defensive line. Who is that?
That's,
oh,
that's Guru.
Oh, Guru's going to come in here. He's just, trust me, he's going to put you in his place.
He's
going to
put you in his place?
I mean, he's going to put you in place, or however that cliche goes, whatever. Ryan and Irvine, what's happening? We got wacky, man. I'm telling you, I'm throwing off a little bit. Right. I'm throwing off. I got my guy over here asking the doctor about his injuries. Not Nick Bosa's, not Fred Warner's, but his injuries. Just because he bent over and grabbed a bucket of baseballs and hurt his back.
When you got an expert on the line, you got to shoot your shot.
Exactly.
You know, you
yeah, yeah, I'm not bad
thank
at
you.
That.
Thank you. They call me the rifleman for a reason, Chuck Person.
Now, you had asked earlier what pisses you off the most about the Niners, and it's already been stated, a couple of my points about the defensive scheme, the offensive line, but overall, it's Kyle's stubbornness. Because when you think about it, the O-line is the way it is because Kyle's philosophy on the offensive line, he doesn't prioritize it. You know what I mean? He thinks like, oh, if I have good skill players and my offensive scheme, we don't really need this elite offensive line. But yet you look at like the NFC teams right now that are crushing it. What do they have? They have strong offensive lines because they prioritize it, right? They're always looking to upgrade those positions on the offensive line while we don't. And it's festering right now. You know,
yep.
I have to think that Pearsall pick was totally Kyle. I mean, that was Kyle right there. He handpicked Pearsall. And then after that pick, he's like, all right, John, go ahead and pick whoever you else, you know, like go ahead and fill this roster. Right. So that's number one. Number two, Kyle's stubbornness when it comes to picking the defensive coordinator, he interviewed Vic Fangio and Vic Fangio said, I want to run a 3-4. You have the personnel for it. Let me run my 3-4 scheme. Kyle listened to some of the players on the team and ultimately likes the wide nine because it's a defensive scheme that Kyle likes. How's that working out for our team right now?
It's a great
How's
point.
It working out for the Eagles?
No, not,
it's a great
not good.
Point.
Not good at all.
And the Eagles now, Jalen Carter is seeing his full potential. Their linebackers are playing out of this world.
Toby Dean.
I mean, he took a guy who wasn't a linebacker and has converted him into a great linebacker in Vic Fangio. I wanted to see them go to a 3-4. I think that that's on the table. I would do it. He gets more speed out on the field. You can hide some things. But to your point, like, it is on Kyle. Kyle did want to run the exact same thing. His obsession with this Seattle defense from a decade ago, I would love to have a philosophical conversation as to why he's so hell-bent on that defense. I just want to know what his reasoning is. Because maybe I'll have better insight as to why he's so obsessed with it.
Now, I heard so much about, you know, paying Brandon Ayuk and why you pay a wide receiver when you only give him, you know, 5 targets a game or he gets 4.5 catches a game or whatnot. And you're not a passing team. You're a running team. So why invest so heavily into wide receivers? Well, the wide nine, I'm not mad at the Y9 if you have speedy edge rushers. The 49ers do not have speedy edge rushers. Leonard Floyd's a little older. Doesn't have the same speed off the snap, and he's getting off the ball very slow. Nick Bosa's a power guy. He's a power rusher. He's not a speed rusher. And he lines up so far wide outside of the tackle. Like, Nick Bosa's never getting to the quarterback. Quarterbacks are going to get rid of this ball in 2 seconds. It's going to take Bosa about 3 seconds to get there. So the personnel just feels like it doesn't match the scheme that you want to run. So could Bosa be a stand-up 3-4 linebacker like T.J. Watt? I have no idea. No
clue. Could he be a hand-in-the-dirt DN like a, not Justin Smith per se, but
maybe like Casey Hayward inside?
Well,
kind of like Justin Smith.
Hayward's so more of a D-tackle, but yeah. I think he could still play inside. Somewhat inside, if you had a fast guy on the outside
right.
of him.
You need faster guys on the outside.
Absolutely.
So it's a personnel issue. So can you get some fast linebackers like Will Anderson Jr.? You know what I mean? A guy like that who could play opposite of Bosa. Or on the same side of Bosa. I don't know. But the Y9, I don't mind sticking with a 4-3. I just don't like the Y9. The gaps are too wide. Teams are running the ball, especially if you don't have a good linebacker opposite of Fred Warner.
Good point.
And you know what? Play action pass is susceptible to it because you got young safeties.
Can I ask this one? Are you more pissed about the defense, or are you more pissed about the offense?
I'm pissed about the offense. The offense is disappointing. They've underwhelmed because last year, Even last season, I thought the offense is going to have to carry the defense, especially after the bye weeks. This offense has been underwhelming. We know the red zone numbers, right? They were 1-3 in the red zone last week. We've discussed the red zone every single week. Red zone efficiency, red zone efficiency. We weren't sure about this defense, right? Without Dre Greenlaw, with some young safeties, Hufanga's coming back. He wasn't right. Hargrave gets hurt early. We kind of saw this with the defense, right? We thought that, boy, the offense is going to have to step up. Well, the offense is 27th in red zone efficiency. They haven't done their job. It's been underwhelming seasons from Deebo Samuel. Underwhelming season from Brock Purdy, because a lot of people have set the bar high for Brock Purdy. Christian McCaffrey played 4 games, really 3.5, got hurt in Buffalo. How many games did Ayuk play? 5? Or it says 7 games played, but...
Not a lot.
Not a lot. He didn't score a touchdown this year. So I'm more disappointed with the offense because you have an offensive-minded head coach. You have an offensive, a top-heavy offensive roster where most of your premium players are on offense. So I'm disappointed in the offense.
If I would have told everybody the Friday before the season was about to start, Ayuk and CMC would have 0 touchdowns combined. At this point in the year, there was no scenario where I would see that. The other thing you brought up was